Welcome to the house of the Lord. Hope you're all having a good day so far. It's kind of hard to mess it up before 10. Praise God. Some of us manage, though. Praise God. Without coffee, without a little bit of prayer, a little bit of time in God's Word. I think all of us have the potential of messing up our morning on Sunday morning. That brings us to our lesson this morning. You all came to hear this morning, resolving conflict. How many need that in their life, that ability in their life? Praise God, we're going to learn about it today. Amen. Our focus thought this morning, anyone can see the problem. Thought I'd get a big resounding amen on that. But however, the world in general and the church in particular need problem solvers. Problem solvers. Everybody has an eye to spot problems. It's very easy to see problems and to bring up the information, share it with others, share it on Facebook, share it to your friends, your coworkers. Everyone can see the problem. But what we need in this world are problem solvers. Problem solvers. Our focus verse is Genesis 13 and verse 8, and the story of Abraham, or Abram and Lot. We're going to look at how Abram dealt with conflict. Genesis 13, 8 says, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren." We're family. I don't want any trouble. I don't want any strife. We're family. Genesis 13, verses 1 and verses 5 through 12, go through the story a little bit more in depth in our lesson text. It says, "And Abram went up of Egypt, and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south," and down to 5. It says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." Praise God. Thank the Lord for his word and for his examples in word that help us every day. This Bible that we read and that we hold so high esteem in our life has so much stuff that is relevant. How about all of it is relevant in our lives today? All of it. Praise God. I'm thankful for the story today that will help us, hopefully, understand and work through the process of resolving conflict. Not just being somebody who sees the problem, but is somebody who can resolve the problem. Anybody follow world events? Every once in a while, when my news app pops up, I'm like, oh, that's an interesting story. foreign affairs, dealing our country, dealing with other countries and diplomats. And we have had some great success stories as a country. We've also had some great diplomatic failures as a country, and not necessarily all of our fault. When it comes to conflict resolution, a basic principle is the opposing sides have to be willing to compromise and reconcile. No matter how many intermediaries try to cobble together a working agreement, their attempts will be futile if one side is unwilling to negotiate in good faith. And so diplomatic efforts are not always successful. In this world, there's possibly one side of a conflict that will not bend. I will not give in. My self-desires are the most important thing. My belief system is the most important thing. My culture is the most important thing. I will not give in, or I will not bend, and I will not make peace. And in those situations, there is not a resolution that our diplomats can put on paper. Sign this. And sometimes even though they sign it, ceasefire. Don't shoot at each other. Okay, we won't shoot at each other. The next morning, there they are, shooting at each other. Well, he looked at me funny. He looked like he was going to shoot, so I shot first. Conflict resolution. The parties have to be willing to work together. Paul wrote in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned toward or one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Preferring one another. Conflict was in existence before humans were ever on this earth. Otherwise, why would Lucifer have been cast out of heaven? Cast out of heaven. There was some conflict. Of course, we all know that that was futile. That was not even a possibility that Lucifer or Satan would ever gain control of heaven. I don't know what he was thinking. Obviously, he wasn't, and ended in his demise. And God is in complete control. He is almighty. There wasn't a possibility at all for Satan to win that struggle. And so he was cast out. In the Garden of Eden, conflict entered the world. We see the serpent's deception of Adam and Eve, and their disobedience, conflict now between God and man. And then today, in the world that we live in, we don't have to look any further than the morning headlines. Conflict throughout societies, throughout countries, regions of the world in constant conflict. As families struggle to find peace, and divorce rates escalate, relationships shatter due to unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict. The church is not immune to disagreements. Everybody say amen. The church is not immune. Why would that be? Because we're human. We're not always the most spiritual. We're not always feeling the best. Some people get cranky when they are not feeling well. I'm one of them. If I don't have my cup of coffee in the morning, I may not be the most agreeable person. My wife calls me a bear. I don't know what that means. Are bears grumpy? I don't know. I haven't got close enough to one to find out. But possibly. The church is not immune to disagreements, differences of opinion. personal preferences, but I want the arrangement over here. It's a little off center right now this morning. Praise God. It's a little bit, I want the music on the platform. I want the music down in the front. I want this color of carpet. I want this color on the walls. It's funny what we'll fight over, but true nonetheless. The church is not immune to conflict. It is the Christian's responsibility to find peaceful resolutions to daily challenges encountered in all areas of life. That includes church life. That includes workplace. But he's got no right to tell me what to do. That includes workplace. That includes family. But they irritate me so badly. That includes family. That includes your spouse. It includes your children. It is the Christian's responsibility to find peaceful resolutions to daily challenges encountered in all areas of life. The book of Genesis describes how one individual was willing to courageously address conflict, choosing to face issues with wisdom and grace rather than insensitivity and selfishness. When dealing with his nephew Lot, Abram humbly sought to find peace. Instead of ignoring the issue that was at hand, he was willing to work toward a solution. Willing to work towards a solution. He refused to show an attitude of superiority. He was the patriarch. Instead, he made personal sacrifices. Abram, head of the family, made personal sacrifices in order to have peace in his family. And so that is why we are looking at his story today. Recognizing the problem, I said earlier that that is the easiest thing to do. We all recognize the problems. We all can see the issues. Just try being a sound guy for one service. And you will find out that everybody knows how to run that sound better than you. They know exactly what's missing, what's too loud, what's too quiet. I can't hear that. That's too piercing. That's too bassy. Just try it. I think everybody ought to take a rotation in the sound room. Just once. It'll help your walk with God. It will. It'll help you stay right with Him. Praise God, it'll keep you on your toes. You will have to be prayed up to be a sound person. Praise God. Amen. Moving on. Genesis 13:6. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Finding the source of the problem. Conflicts can be big or small, and the size of the conflict has very little to do with how big the conflict or the problem becomes. It can be the smallest thing. All you married couples, it can be the smallest thing that turns into an all-day problem affair. And it gets bigger, but you said that, and you said this, and it's like it started with the smallest little thing. Maybe a comment was made that was maybe in jest, but was taken wrong. And rather than immediately saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way, I apologize, please forgive me, we start defending ourselves. But you should know me. We've been together this long. You should know that when I say something like that, I'm not serious. Are you serious that I'm serious? No, you're not serious that I'm serious. I can't possibly be serious right now. I'm just joking about that. Why are you taking it so serious? and it turns into something much bigger than a few little words. The degree at which a conflict escalates is often based on the manner in which both parties respond to the situation. In fact, sometimes a conflict arises out of a situation that should not even be considered problematic. Amen. The conflict between Abram and Lot should not have been a problem. The conflict between Abram and Lot was because they were blessed. Think about it. Both of their families had so much that they were starting to step on each other's toes. God had blessed them abundantly. Have you ever gotten in conflict with someone because of the blessings that God has given them? Your blessing's stepping on my blessing. Wow. Pretty crazy way to look at it, but their conflict arose because they were blessed. They could have devised a plan to enable them to live peaceably, but instead they chose a path of conflict. The herdsman, no, you're in my space. Your cows are eating my cow's grass, and they're taking up my cow's water. When there was plenty to go around. Discovering the root of the issue is an essential step of finding a solution to the problem. Sometimes we have to step back in order to move forward. Why are we treating each other this way? Why are we having such a problematic issue here? Why are we struggling in this area of our marriage, in our home, or in our walk with God? Why am I struggling with that? Why is it such a big issue? Sometimes we need to step back from the situation just a little bit and find the starting point. When it comes to our relationship with God, coming into church, our starting point for us is to realize that I am a sinner. That's the starting point. Once I can figure out that I am a sinner, then I can move forward in God. I can say, I am a sinner and I am in need of a Savior. I need God. And then I can move forward. We can start dealing with the conflict between God and man. And He's already made the way. He's already done what He needed to do to build the relationship again. Reconcile. But I need to go back to the point where I discover and I realize that I'm a sinner. Dealing with the problem. Abram could have chosen to ignore the problem. How many people like to ignore the problem? How many people are confrontational? Don't raise your hand. I know who you are. Praise God. How many are non-confrontational? Like to hide. There's a problem here, but I'm going to go over this way. Because I don't want to deal with that problem today. I've got enough problems of my own. I don't need to deal with that. There are non-confrontational people. There are confrontational people. There are very vocal people. There are physical people when it comes to conflict. I try to be the avoider when it comes to that. Amen. Praise God. Dealing with the problem. True leadership tackles the tough conversations rather than ignoring the difficulty. Is it easy to go and approach your brother or your sister in the church with a problem? Is it easy? But they offended me last week. But they don't know. So I'm going to maybe stew in it. Or maybe I need to have a conversation with my brother or my sister. And say, you know what, last week when you said such and such, it really hurt me. And most of the time, They're going to say, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. Because we're all brothers and sisters. We're family. We're family. And every once in a while, they're going to say, I did not. And then the Bible gives us what to do with that, too. Praise God. Brother Glover, we need you. Praise God. Come into the situation and bring some conflict resolution. Praise God. We need to move forward, and we need to focus back on God. We need to focus on evangelism. We need to focus on reaching our world. Praise God. We don't need to have something stopping us, preventing us, or keeping us down in our walk with God. Praise God. We need to have a victorious life, an abundant life, and we don't need to have all these little petty things in our life. We need to deal with conflict. Praise God. True leadership tackles the tough conversations rather than ignoring the difficulties. The life of faith involves learning to live with each other in a manner that respects the other person as one who is created in the image of God. Ephesians 4:26 reminds us of the necessity of swiftly dealing with conflicts. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. We need to deal with conflict quickly. Quickly. Solving the problem. Conflict occurs in all relationships, including family relationships, relationships in the workplace, and relationships in the church. Disunity occurs when an individual insists on their way and refuses to yield ground. Whenever you are in conflict with someone, there is one factor that can make the difference between damaging the relationship and deepening the relationship. And that one word, that one thing is attitude. That one factor is attitude. An individual with the right attitude will seek to find common ground and a means to a solution. When a person focuses on the most important things, being right with one's brother or sister will take precedence over simply being right. I like being right. It's in my nature. I like being right. And I'm sure that many of you here today like being... How many like being wrong? Most of us like being right. And it doesn't matter what it's over. It could be a historical fact that no one really knows the answer to. But we need to be right about that. And it doesn't matter whether we're working on a car with somebody. And no, I've got the answer. It is definitely this spark plug, and it is not that spark plug wire. Conflict can arise by just trying to be right all the time. And being right is not the priority. Being right is not the priority. When our focus is on God, God is the priority. And when we focus on God, we realize that our brother and our sister, our co-workers, are made in the image of God, and they deserve respect. And we can deal with them in a respectful way and come to the end of our conflict by showing that we have the proper attitude. Oh God. Prayer that I pray all the time is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then I add to that just a little bit, God, let my motives be right today. God, let my spirit be right today. Let my attitude be right today. Let my attitude be right today. In dealing with people, it is very important for our attitude to be right. Christians are tasked with the responsibility of addressing situations in a manner that pleases the Lord and brings glory to Him. Characteristics of a problem solver. What are the characteristics of a courageous problem solver? A problem solver promotes harmony. We're better together. We're better together. Promotes harmony. Cultivates unity. We're better together. They're not afraid of having the difficult conversations. This is not easy. But we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about this. And we will resolve this. And we will leave loving each other. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Problem solvers become peacemakers. The word peacemaker is not synonymous with pushover. Right? Christians are not doormats. Not just to be stepped on. Doesn't mean that we have to rise up every time somebody tries to step on us, though. Praise God. We need to have the mind of God, have the right attitude. But peacemakers is not just being a pushover. Peacemakers are strong people. Peacemakers put the needs and betterments of others above their own personal desires. You think that's easy to do? That is not easy to do. A peacemaker is a very strong person. Very strong person. Peacemakers seek to understand the viewpoint of the other person as a means of finding a resolution. The path to peace does not require problem solvers to give in regardless of principle. There are certain things that we stand upon that are unwavering, unchanging. We are not going to change the Word of God to resolve conflict. We're not going to give in on our relationship with God to resolve conflict. There are things in my life that I will not change. Okay? But we can find a path to peace. Like I was talking about earlier, there are times that the other party will not desire peace. And there's nothing that we can do about that. And so in times like that, we need to have the attitude of a peacemaker, but understand that we must stand firm on the Word of God. What we believe, praise God, we need to stand firm. So neither do they demand validation for their own views or desires. Peacemakers engage others in order to find common ground and cultivate shared vision for resolution. Problem solvers take responsibility for relationships, regardless of correctness and convenience. Recognizing one's role in the conflict can result in a resolution that brings peace and order to chaos. What did I do to cause this? And typically we can find things within our own lives and in the situation that we can say, yes, absolutely. When you said that, I rolled my eyes. Man, that holds a lot of weight. Rolling your eyes means so much to so many. And to you, it may not be a big thing. But to the person that you're talking to, you have just blown them off. You are done with that conversation. Whatever they said was irrelevant to you, means nothing. I roll my eyes at you. Right? And a few of you just rolled your eyes at me. Praise God. That's good. Just practicing. All right. Abram was a problem solver because he was a peacemaker who took responsibility for relationships. He utilized wisdom to boldly face a problem, bringing stability to a situation that affected the possessions he owned and the people under his care and his family. He took responsibility. Something needs to be done here. Something needs to be done here. We need to move forward. We cannot continue in conflict. And so whatever it takes, we're gonna come to a solution here. Seeking peace. Seeking peace. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This was especially true in Abram's situation. By taking the path of a peacemaker, he kept his heart pure. That's so important. In every conflict, keeping your heart pure. And was protected from the temptation and struggles that plagued Lot. It is important for us in conflict to not be jealous of the other party, because that in itself brings conflict. A problem solver, you cannot be full of jealousy. You must be secure and certain in your own right, in what you have, in your relationship with God. You need to be secure in that and not be jealous of somebody else and their abilities and their talents and their relationship with God. It's very important that we keep jealousy out of our lives. Abram could have made his decision based on insecurities rather than generosity. But Abram was secure in his identity as a child of God, and he was comfortable with Lot's success. He was comfortable with the blessings that God had given Lot. People who rest in God's promises of provision can be generous with their possessions, because blessing others does not mean that they lose their blessing. I'm okay when God blesses others. I'm okay when God uses me to bless others. I'm not insecure of the blessings that God has given me. And when others succeed, it does not cause me to wonder why I'm not succeeding. When others are having a time of victory and joy and rejoicing and favor with God, and I am going through a valley and I am struggling just a little bit in certain areas, and maybe God is taking me through some things that I need to learn and that are going to help me and be tools in my toolbox for later in life and later in ministry, I need to be secure in that God loves me. I am His child. And even though somebody else is being blessed greater than I am right now, I'm okay with that. And that is not going to cause an issue between me and my brother or my sister. Amen. We must be humble. A problem solver must be willing to approach a difficult situation with a humble spirit. Conflict is inevitable, but combat is optional. Get that? Conflict is inevitable, but combat is optional. We don't have to raise our fists every time there's conflict in our life. Abram worked towards a solution with a meek spirit. It is important to realize that meekness is not weakness. It's like being a peacemaker is not a weak person. It takes a lot of strength to be a peacemaker. Meekness is not weakness. Rather, meekness is controlled strength. Controlled strength. In your spirit, sometimes you're thinking, man, I could so destroy you right now. With my words, with my influence, I could destroy you as a person. That's not even close to being a Christian attitude. Praise God. But we live in this flesh, and sometimes there are things that flash into a person's mind in the middle of a conflict. So thankful that the Lord keeps us and He helps us and gives us His strength sometimes, because people rise up in our lives and our first reaction sometimes is not always the best reaction. We've got a whole lineup of comebacks and lines, and we're ready. We're just going to blast them. Shotgun, close range. It's going to be blasted out of my mouth, and I'm going to say stuff that I'm going to regret. And No. We need to approach this with a meek spirit. Meekness is controlled strength. As a Christian, we are strong in God, and God is our strength. But we need to have controlled strength, and that is meekness. Meekness is the willingness to give up perceived personal rights, preferences, and privileges in the interest of something better. Unity is always better. unity is always better. We need to be willing sometimes to give up perceived personal rights. It's my right. I've heard that way too many times. You're taking away my rights. I can't take away anybody's rights. We need to have controlled strength. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being formed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus chose to forgo the benefits due him because his love was greater than our sin. His love was greater than our sin. Our love for our brothers and our sisters, for our co-workers, or for our family needs to be greater. Greater than the conflict. Greater than the problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The master problem solver. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We need to rely on the Lord's strength and leading in times of uncertainty. The Holy Spirit, so thankful for the Holy Ghost. It guides us, leads us, provides wisdom, provides clarity to the situation, and offers a means of resolution. God understands human desires and shortcomings. I'm so thankful that he does. His grace is new every morning. Praise God. Why? Because I need it every morning. Praise God. God understands us. He can provide a supernatural solution to even the worst situations when we can't even come up with, in our own mind, a possible solution for the conflict. God has a way of working it all out. He can provide the words, the thought, the direction, the course of action needed to resolve and even prevent conflict. Praise God. And today we can trust in God with our greatest worries, our greatest doubts, because he always has the best interest of his children at heart. Praise God. He loves us. He loved us so much that he came and he died for you and I. That's how much he loves us. The Christian was never intended to bear heavy burdens. Did you know that? How many of us carry heavy burdens? Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The Christian was never intended to bear the heavy loads, the heavy burdens. That's what God wants to do for us. That's what God wants to do for us. The believers can give him the difficult, stressful situations, the worries that go over in our mind, knowing he will sustain and empower them in the process. One of our greatest benefits of being a Christian is having the Holy Ghost to empower us to overcome obstacles and accomplish things we could never attain in our own strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. For the unbeliever today, the unbeliever can turn to God for direction in times of conflict. This does require faith. This does require faith. Faith that God will hear and answer. Hebrews 11 and 6 declares, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The first step is to have faith in God and trust that he rewards those who pursue him. In times of conflict, I am almost done here this morning, praise God. In times of conflict, the unbeliever can be encouraged and strengthened through relationships with believers. How many times have you been approached by unbelievers that have been watching your life, watching everything that is going on, and when they have a time that is beyond their understanding, beyond their capability to mentally just get through the situation, or a conflict arises, or a major need arises in their life, and they approach you. And they talk to you about the struggle that they're having. That is a blessing to the unbeliever, if you can believe that. For them to have pillars. To have your strength. To have a connection to God through your life. It's all, of course, the purpose is to lead them to Christ. But the unbeliever can be encouraged and strengthened through relationships with believers. That's why we don't need to just have friends in the church. We need to be a friend. We need to be a friend to our coworkers. We need to be a friend to people in town, people that we run across all the time. Be a friend. Because in the time of their need, they're going to look to you. They may not know to look to God. They may only know you. They may only know Jesus through you and through your life. And we can be there and we can help lead them to Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So there is no greater example of reconciliation in the human history than the cross of Calvary. He was an example for all. He demonstrated an unequaled value he placed upon the relationship with his children. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. His love transcends all offenses. Hallelujah. 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 It transcends. It is above. It is greater than all offenses. Hallelujah. And getting to the end of conflict, the blessing of unity. I spent all my time on conflict. Praise God. The blessing of unity. The concept of unity does not mean living without conflict. Rather, it means to forge forward deeper in relationship despite conflict. Despite conflict. When working to resolve conflict through promoting unity, there are some key principles, and we will have just enough time to get through those if you're taking notes this morning. Some key principles. Choose to glorify God. If that is your choice every time when conflict arises, when you choose in every situation in life to glorify God, He is the priority. And if He is the priority, unity is the priority. If He is the priority, unity.